Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Well, welcome to Petards Group PLC and the presentation that Paul is going to run you through following the opening that I'm doing. Petards is a well-established group. It's been around for a long time. It came out of Vickers originally, and obviously it's not the group it was 50 years ago or 48 years ago. I'm chief executive now, and I joined as chief executive in 2013. Paul joined me in 2013, and myself, Rashid, who's at the back, who's our group chairman. He's my brother. And Paul joined us in 2013, and Paul is in charge of group business development. We think we've got a very exciting future ahead, but that's for you to gauge, gentlemen. And as this is our first mellow presentation, don't go too hard on us with the questions and answers. Anyway, I'd like to hand you over to Paul to start the presentation.
Thank you, Osman.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit of background to myself. Paul Negus, Group Business Development Director. I'm an engineer by background, started off 30 years ago, and quite quickly realised and was fortunate to work with some very talented UK engineers. And the small business I was working with at the time had some great ideas, but failed to exploit them, in my opinion. I realised that disruptive technology, a buzzword that's used today, back 30 years ago, when you were coming up with something that was different, it was challenging but also exciting. And I quite quickly learnt that the toughest customers, the hardest ones to get, because you're changing their opinions dramatically, are the most rewarding. Most recently, before joining Petards, I ran an automatic number plate recognition business called Pips Technology. We grew that business to be the global leader, and our success resulted in an offer that was made for the business that was too good to refuse. We sold the business to a large American corporate, and I then joined Petards. Two things attracted me to Petards. The first thing was its people, and the second thing was the interesting market opportunities that it was involved in. This morning, I'm going to give you a brief overview on the business and just skip through what we've been doing and where we see the business going. In terms of our markets, three main markets: rail, traffic, and defence. In the rail market, our customers are predominantly the train builders, so we're proud to have received the top six global train builders as our customers, the train operating companies. In the traffic market, our customers are UK police forces and law enforcement agencies across the world. The defence market, we're proud to have the Ministry of Defence, people like NATO and BAE Systems as our customers. The executive board, and as Osman explained, Rashid is our group chairman, who's here today. Osman as chief executive officer, and myself as business development director for the group. Our strategic plan takes three main areas. The first one, when we join the business, many businesses say we want to grow the business and grow it globally. My experience has taught me that if you're not a predominant player in your home market, it's pointless trying to grow it internationally. So over the last 5 years, as a team, we've focused on growing our presence in our home market. And we're proud to say that in our rail market, in our traffic market, we are the dominant player in those sectors. In our chosen area of the defence sector, again, we're the dominant player in that. So our focus has been looking after our home market, building those customer relationships to enable us to go on geographic expansion. In terms of product investment, strategically, developing new products, diversification, taking those into new markets, is a risky strategy. We've chosen to focus on taking new products into our existing marketplaces. One of those is a product offering called ASDO, Automatic Selective Door Opening. We've got a demonstration of that in the main area if you'd like to see more details with one of our technical engineers. Acquisition, although we're focused on strong, solid, organic growth, acquisition is an important part of our strategic plan. We've acquired a company called QRO Systems, aimed into the traffic market. We acquired RTS Solutions, a software provider into the rail sector. And we're actively looking at other companies that strengthen our range of software solutions. In terms of the order highlights, the first half of the year, order book in excess of 20 million. We've got just under 9 million of new orders that came into the business. And going forward for the second half of this year, 10 million of orders for the remainder of the year and 8 million looking forward. Predominantly, that is the rail business. The nice thing about the rail business, twofold, that when you get these orders, they're spread over 2 to 3 years, but also they're 30, 35 year contracts. So once you get that, there's a high stickiness that is linked to it. We believe that we've got new opportunities, both with new customers and existing customers, to take our range of current solutions and the new ones that we've developed that I'll talk about as we go through. But fundamentally, we've got a strong pipeline. We've got high levels of interest in the tenders and the bids that are undergoing at the moment. I'm just going to play a short video. This video gives an overview of the rail products and their application. One of the things to bear in mind, whilst you see the hardware sitting on the train, the big element of this is controlled by software. So there's a lot of hidden software that is sitting on the train itself. Takes about 2 minutes, so I'll let you just take this in, and it tells the story of what we've been working on in the rail industry. So here, the automatic selective door opening, driver-controlled operation that you may have seen in the news, enables the driver to look down the train. All of our displays are intelligent in terms of the communication between the driver and the operators. All our systems interface remotely to our back office solution. So we've got real-time access to our video and data being streamed through. The train goes off here. You can see some of the footage that we get from the forward-facing camera, the track debris camera looking at the track itself as the train goes into motion, the DCO operation there. We're also monitoring the pantographs, both from an illumination perspective and the video technology as well. We've got rear-facing, we've got coupling cameras linked to the back of the trains as well. Final slide here just shows all the equipment that we supply onto the train. If you were to look at that 5 years ago, there would be 3 or 4 items that were shown on there. I'll just move on to the next one there, which just gives an overview, as I say, of what we offer onto the train. So our focus has been broadening our on-train technology offering, and there are a number of challenges for technology companies when applying technology onto trains, both from a safety perspective and a technical interface perspective as well. Some of the highlights in the rail technology business, what's been happening in 2018. July and August saw over 6 million of new orders arriving into the business. We won a further contract with Bombardier onto their Aventra platform for Southwest at 2.8 million. One below with Bombardier, another ASDO, automatic selective door opening, DCO, driver control operation only order, an automatic passenger counting retrofit. So a new order for new trains and a new order for the retrofit market. So the class 172s, retrofitting those with a contract value of 2.7 million. Our automatic selective door opening system, we've sold that now to three major customers, two into the retrofit market, one into the new train build market with Stadler. Stadler came into the UK market from Switzerland, won their first contract with East Anglia. We're proud to be partnering with them and supplying them the ASDO technology. It provides an interesting offering for the challenge of the UK market that says, you have this finite infrastructure of rail. We all see how crowded the trains are at peak times. How do you get more trains on there? You're limited by the signalling and networking system on there. So you put longer trains on there, put a 12-car train onto a particular track. However, what's happened over the time with Network Rail, the platforms have reduced in size. So if you've got a 12-car train going in a short platform, we've been on the trains where there's an automatic announcement, get in the front four carriages, no, get in the back four carriages. That's a manual thing. Our system does it automatically. Twofold benefits from that. There's a safety impact. All of our software for these applications is SIL approved, safety integrity level, which is a very onerous set of requirements before you can put it into service. And the second element of it, as I say, is to reduce the dwell time. So trains going in and out of stations, getting them in much faster, getting people on and off the trains at a far more efficient way. Other point to note is over the last 5 years, all the contracts that we've won have had significant non-recurring engineering. So custom development to interface with their trains. However, as with all technology companies, when you estimate engineering work, one thing's for sure, you always get it wrong. Hopefully, it's only 5% wrong and not 55% wrong. So all the current contracts over the last 5 years have all been associated with non-recurring engineering. That's enabled us to get onto these train platforms. We've now entered the production phase. From a management perspective, it's far more controllable. The unknown of software engineers going, oh, that's only a week's work, when in reality we know it's 4 weeks' work. So we're entering into the production phase for customers such as Great Western Railway, Bombardier, Siemens, Stadler. So the control, we know what we're building, it's cookie cutting now that we're delivering more of the same. We've gone through the pain and the uncertainty within the business of the R&D and the engineering activity. So very, very exciting point, that one. What this has resulted in, we've developed a new range of solutions that's built on a common platform called Generation 6. We've got five generations before that. The business started in the rail industry, 2003. So Generation 1 came through there. And each time we've honed it, we've improved it. And from our perspective, people look at it and say, oh, you're just cameras on trains. No, we're not. We're a whole lot more than that. Putting CCTV onto trains, which is just one of our offerings, is not a straightforward thing to do. And as I say, we've spent over 15 years working on that. Acquisition, as I say, of RTS Solutions, rail-focused software engineering, small company, nice little niche. That knowledge just strengthens and supports our ever-growing software team. High level of tender activity. I'll show you in a few slides on in terms of the market. The opportunities over the next 2 to 3 years are far greater than they've ever been, in my opinion. What have we been doing in the new build market, and what prevents us being displaced? So as I say, the last 5 years, every train, a Siemens train, doesn't have just one train. They have various different models. Their model that they take into the commuter sector is called the DeZero train. When you do it for DeZero, there's very little commonality between that and the Velaro platform. So where we've got at the moment is these four platforms: Stadler, fastest growing and largest privately owned rail builder in the world. Siemens, as you all know, and Bombardier, based out of Derby, and also a major player internationally. We're on these four platforms. So if you take Bombardier, for example, we've signed a supplier agreement with Bombardier that says, these solutions, when we win business, your price is fixed. You will do this on the delivery, you'll do this on the spare parts. Very easy for us to then take it from Bombardier winning a contract to us receiving the purchase order. And as I say, we're not in the development phase, we're into the production delivery phase. So improving our efficiencies in the factory, working closely with our supplier base. This, the fact that we've been doing this for the last 5 years, we believe provides huge barriers to entry for the competition. We have competition. Much of the competition plays in the retrofit market where there's no interface to the train builders management software. And the reason for that is the high cost of change. When you drill into it, every drawing, every bill of materials, all the parts lists have Petard's design built into it. So the cabling is built around Petard's. The integration is built around Petard's. The hole they cut in the roof is written around Petard's. The hole in the side of the train. And you start to realize the knock-on effects of this. And people, they're purchasing people saying, hey, I'll get somebody knocking on my door. They're 20% cheaper than Petard's. We're not going to do it because of the cost of change and the risk of change as well. In this market, availability of trains is paramount. So reliability is a key factor. Some of the opportunities that exist for us going forward. So 2019, 2020, these contracts will get awarded to a supplier in the marketplace. I'll leave you to form your own opinion as to what will happen. A couple of key points here. 6,500 new vehicles, the investment is going to be made. The first one there, West Midlands, 400 vehicles. That contract's already been awarded to Bombardier. We're actively talking to them. New tube for London, the underground market. It's a market we don't serve at the moment. You may or may not have seen in the press. It was awarded to Siemens. On the back of that, they're setting up their factory in Goole near Leeds. I was at a supplier conference with Siemens last week. They said, we want to leave a legacy. We're opening this factory in the UK because we see it as a major, major market for us. We are the only UK manufacturer of the on-train technology. HS2, the tender's out at the moment. We're talking to all of the people that are bidding for that. The new ones on the block is a Spanish company called Talgo. And again, they put in the press, we've found a lovely site in Scotland. We'll open this factory, we'll build it if we win contracts in the UK. So another interesting opportunity. Our current offerings, you can do the maths yourself. Depending upon what the customer takes from one end of the spectrum, it's £3,500 per vehicle. Up to taking all of it, it's £15,000 per vehicle. Our roadmap, what are we doing? So as a business, when we first joined, each project was customer specific. So we'd win a new project and then there was nothing or very small amounts of it that could be used on the next one. So we won one for Siemens, the Bombardier one, had to pull together another engineering team. The customer wanted to put some customization in there. It would effectively be rewriting major parts of the code. This was risky. We got it wrong. It was time consuming. We've learned from that. So our Generation 6 solution, what have we done there? We've got a common platform that we've made that is highly scalable, flexible, because even though the procurement, the commercial teams at the train builders say, we're going to take standard products. Yes, yes, of course you are. Probably 80%, 90% of it will be standard, but everyone's trying to win the new piece of business and drop things in there. It says, we're being innovative. We're listening to you, Mr. Customer. We're being innovative. We want to be able to react to that, but we want to be able to react to it without having to risk all of our major base code. We've done that with Generation 6. So whether you take core CCTV, which is just one part of what we offer, today you can break it down into four elements. The surveillance through CCTV, driver control operation only, the automatic selective door opening, and the automatic passenger counting. We've got our iBoss solution, which is the back office that manages and aggregates all of this data and presents it in a way that the customers want to use it and find improves their operation. We've recognized as well that we can't do everything, be the best at what we choose to do, to have open interfaces that we can integrate to passenger information systems, the PIS. We've also recognized that the retrofit market is standalone. So if you wanted to take our systems, no integration whatsoever, it can be any elements, all of those elements, integrated or not integrated. So we're taking the shift from dumb to intelligent sensors. Here's a few of the ideas that we've got, overlaying software onto our base hardware. Seat occupancy detection, if you go out and see our stand out there, John Pope, he'll talk you through some of the ideas and what we're doing going forward. A few other elements on there, the facial recognition, the analytics, but we see building on our platform, putting the software algorithms overlaying onto our systems already in place. We've won every major project in the UK over the last 5 years. We've been in the design and development phase. We've made significant investment in our intellectual property. Where we believe it's in a hugely exciting times for the rail industry and subsequently Petards is that this industry is shifting from heavy mechanical pieces of engineering into software-led complex pieces of equipment that are on the tracks. We've been working on this for the last 15 years. We're close, we understand that, and we believe that we're in a position to exploit the opportunities in the UK marketplace. Our hardware team reduced by 50%. Our software team, we've increased this by 400%. We can't get enough software people. Attracting them to the rail industry is challenging when they can go and do many other things in the fintech and games industry. We've made the shift as well. 5 years ago, our software architecture was monolithic, so it was all encased into one piece of code. We've moved across to microservices now, so we can be flexible in our offering. We can break out what we're providing for our different customers. Traffic technology, second area of our business, automatic number plate recognition business. I understand that very, very well. Over here, our core business was Provida, mobile speed enforcement, number plate recognition cameras. We acquired QRO, that coming into the business. They've been around 15 years, highly respected in the UK police, offering mobile, fixed and ANPR software. They're technology agnostic, so they can offer you any other supplier's number plate recognition system. Their value is their own back office from a software perspective. That's what they bring. The support that they offer, the installation and the backup to the customers. Effectively, our traffic technology business, small today, significant opportunities. We've seen 2 million of new traffic orders first half of 2018. Defence services business. We're a value-added reseller in the defence market. Very well respected, as Osman said, it's where the business came out of. So these relationships, we've got a sales guy that's been with the company over 35 years, probably the world's expert on electronic countermeasures over here. We do communication systems, so radio systems for the Ministry of Defence. We're taking some of our video technology into warships and to the defence sector as well. Petards Group, in summary, what are we about? We're about advanced technology into complex sectors. I could talk to you for hours as to why it is a complex sector. Substantial market opportunity, especially in rail, especially in traffic. High barriers to entry. Very, very difficult for people to get into markets that reliability, relationships, and performance of systems are high, and the investment that has been made by those customers. We're highly focused on building the business organically, as well as finding the right acquisitions that meet our strategic requirements. And lastly, but not least, why did I join Petards? The people. We've got some great people. We've got a really, really experienced management team that in their chosen areas have huge amounts of knowledge. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll throw the open to questions.
Your product outlook looks very exciting. And it does seem to me that more from a corporate point of view, the problem with the company is it doesn't make high enough margins and hence doesn't generate enough cash. I hear you talk about your sort of cookie cutter approach, etc. But A, do you recognise that as being a major problem with the group in terms of its current structure? And if you do, when do you see that changing?
Very good question. Firstly, yes, we do recognise that the margins have been far too low. And that's plain to see from our numbers. What has changed and what are we doing about it? So the margins have been suppressed because predominantly through the rail business, which has generated the lion's share of our revenue. We've had huge amounts of engineering. And to be honest, the engineering estimates, we've underestimated that. So we've overrun on our engineering. So our cost base, we thought of X, has ended up being Y that's pulled our margins down. Going forward, we're now in 2019, we go forward with contracts that we've got that is 1 or 2% of engineering, the rest is production deliverables. So we've delivered that before, we know how to make it, we know what it costs, how can we get our margins up? So we've got supply agreements, framework agreements with Siemens, with Hitachi, with Bombardier, that we go to our suppliers, future business. If we want to place future business with you, we're under pressure. You've got to take 3%, 4%, 5%. And on £1 million contract, you can easily see 4%, 5% coming out of there, the value added that occurs into that. That's one part of it. The really, really, from my perspective, the really exciting part, and if you look at the dynamics of the industry, the way it's structured, it's been capital equipment purchases. So when we've got these £3, 4, 5 million contracts, it's a purchase. There is no support and maintenance on there. And that's scary that if you look at Siemens, they've invested nearly £20 million with us in terms of rail equipment. There is no support and maintenance contract there. Hugely scary. Their philosophy, because they apply it to brakes and bogies and seats, that says, oh, well, we think it'll fail at this rate, so we'll just put a whole load of spares in there. And I'm going, no, guys, this is the software in here. You may change your interface, you may do some work. Software will have bugs and may fail. We're coming out of the warranty period, so we're now entering into discussions for support and maintenance contracts that currently don't exist for any of our suppliers. So in summary, we're into production. We improve our production efficiencies, work with our suppliers to take cost out, and we generate lucrative support and maintenance contracts. And that is our objective to pushing up our margins.
So given that you've got 3-year contracts in rail, sort of presumably rolling out, you'd say that you'd see that transformation happening over a 3-year period?
The transformation would certainly over 3 years, but we're going to see improvements the next couple of years, much faster than that, because we're coming out of the warranty period with our existing customers. And I say we're starting to enter into these support and maintenance contracts. So, yeah, we believe that we've crested and coming out the other side now.
Thank you. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Very impressive how you've cornered the UK market, as you say, but many of your customers are very international, and you have deployed very successfully internationally, such as in Turkey. Do you see that becoming more part of the business, and is it something you've got to work on, or do you actually get customer pull into international projects?
What we see globally is, as you say, we've got Siemens as an international customer in Turkey. Global expansion. The UK market, as many industries, leads the way in its innovation. So if you look at driver control operation only, if you look at ASDO, that's the UK. Central Europe is just waking up to some of this technology. So from our perspective, the rest of the world, up until probably the last 12 months, has been, we just want a baseline CCTV system. We want it really, really dumbed down. Now they're running in and they're seeing what's, they're coming over to the UK. They're seeing what's happened with driver control operation, the improved efficiencies, the safety implications of that. They've seen what the opportunity exists with ASDO. That, I believe, is our sell to the international market. And already Bombardier are probably leading the way on it. If you look at the software side of it, real-time seat detection using smart sensors, fire detection using smart sensors, Bombardier internationally are actually starting to pull that through. So that's where we see our opportunity, not scrabbling around with cheap Chinese cameras, but neat solutions that we've proven into the UK market. Our customers will act as good references.
Thank you.
One more question, we've got time. We can have one more.
Hi, do you have the production capacity for all the new orders that will hopefully be coming in? And also on the defence side, do you see much success going forward overseas? Because most of your work is with the MOD. So I would have thought that's pretty high quality stuff, which you should be able to transmit abroad.
Two questions, and I'll answer the first one, production capacity. That question gets asked by all of our customers. So each time we get a new order, as we've grown as a business and continue to grow, they send in independent consultants because we have to tick a box that says, when we do the tender, if we place this contract with you, you've got production capacity. They don't believe that. So they send in independent consultants to have a look at us, do an assessment of our production capabilities. And the fact that we're just working a single shift at the moment, we subcontract pretty much everything, all of the PCBs, all of the looms, the metalwork. What we do at our factory up in Gateshead is high-level testing, integration, and configuration. So we've got the ability, we've got the floor space to grow. We can go on to overtime working, which we do minimal at the moment. It's only if one of our suppliers cause an issue or a customer wants to accelerate a program. We can double shift, we can triple shift, and we can expand the business that way. So from our perspective, production capacity is not an issue. I'm confident in that because, as I say, Siemens, Bombardier will send their own people in to assess what we've got. Defence, international expansion with defence. The defence market, you're right, our customer base has been in the UK. It's slow burn. And internationally, what we see the opportunities to look at internationally, advanced surveillance. So what we've learnt in the rail industry, advanced surveillance technology underwritten by complex mission critical control, because if our system goes down, a train doesn't work, or God forbid, an accident could occur. So there's similarities in that to the defence market. So we're seeding the market at the moment that says, this is our pedigree, this is what we've done with the rail sector, we can take this into warships and we can go international with that. So we've got a new business development guy heading that up, and that remit is to say, yeah, let's do more internationally.
Okay, thank you, Paul, for the excellent presentation.
Thank you.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.